Now, once upon a time in professional wrestling, it used to matter what the fans thought.
For example, all you parents out there with kids, when your kids misbehave, you give the New Day a call. Yep. The New Day comes over to your house, and we will fight your children!
Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of wrestling sucks. But when it's good, it's fucking great. Wrestling is melodrama. Wrestling is mythology. Wrestling is action. Wrestling is comic books. The only thing wrestling isn't is wrestling.
Who wants to take back professional wrestling?
Welcome, everyone, to episode 167 of your favorite podcast, Around the Ring. I am your host, your Floyd and Savior, Floyd Johnson, and enjoying me on a completely shitty college football weekend is my normal co-host, Ryan the Great Aaron. How you doing today, Ryan?
I'm all right.
Yeah. And this is one of the rare situations where both of our teams lost on the same day. My team lost by 1 point in a rather impressive performance. It's against a team that was way better than us. Ryan's team did not turn in a great performance against a team that is much considered worse than them. So, not a great day yesterday. His quarterback, the Corn Dog. Do you think it's time to replace him?
I don't blame Corn Dog at all for yesterday. When your offensive line gives up, I think we finished with like 8, maybe 9 sacks against the quarterback. He was getting the ball and he was getting hit. It looked like you guys earlier in the season. That's how quick he was getting hit. I can't put that on the Corn Dog. I would rather see Drew Brown in there, the transfer from Hawaii that can sling it. But at this point, I'm just hoping we can get the 6 wins. We've got Kansas State and Baylor. That's the only hope we have left to get to a bowl game.
All right. Yeah. Wasn't that great? My team's 3-3, so 6 games. We've got 6 games left, which we basically, if we just match what we did in the first and go 3-3, we'll get to a bowl game. We will see. Like I said, I was impressed by how much we improved yesterday, but you don't know how much of that was just because we were playing a rival and just, you know, played harder against a rival. If we continue that, we got an off week next week, so if we continue that performance, I will be happy. But that's enough for college football because you didn't list call, you didn't record or tap in to listen to us bitch about our team sucking. You came to hear about the wrestling, the pro wrestling reps. Hey, if you're listening to this, aroundtheringok@gmail.com. So it's aroundtheringok@gmail.com. Send us your suggestions. I came up with a tagline last week. I told Ryan about, and I kind of dig it. I'd like to see if any of you dig it. The one I want to use is unapologetically us, because me, because I think that fits our show. We are both who we are, and we don't plan on changing. Ryan doesn't like Daniel Bryan, which a lot of people hate. I don't like intergender wrestling, which a lot of people love, you know. And so, hey, we don't care. You know, we like what we like. We don't like what we like. We don't like what we don't like. So we'd like to hear your opinions if you're interested in giving them. Again, it's aroundtheringok@gmail.com if you are interested in chiming in. You can also go to our Around the Ring page, Around the Ring on Facebook and Around the Ring on Twitter. It's / Around the Ring OK on both pages. Let us know what you think. Our show will be up later there today and on thechairshot.com. So let's get started. What we're going straight into today is the WWE Super Showdown review. The reason we're starting there is because generally we would talk a little bit about what we liked on Raw and SmackDown, but pretty much Raw and SmackDown was building to this show. So why don't we just cover the show, cut out the middleman? So first match we had up, we only had 10 matches. First match we had was the New Day defending their WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championships against The Bar, Cesaro and Sheamus. Ryan, what did you think about this match?
I thought it was a normal New Day bar match. It was good. It was solid. It was entertaining. I was kind of surprised they had Kofi and Xavier Woods in there. When I saw that, the New Day retained. When I saw that Kofi and Xavier were in there, I thought the bar was probably going to walk away with it. Maybe Kofi eating the pin after being announced that he's the cumulative most days as tag team champion. That's just something very WWE. But I was glad to see them win. It was very fast-paced. Like, Kofi and Xavier Woods started off like they were just in a tornado or something. It was bang-bang all over the place. But I enjoyed the match.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the match, too. The problem with the New Day, and I've made this point before, I believe, I don't know if it was on this show, I will say, they're so good at being the opening match that they're always going to be the opening match.
Yeah, they definitely get the crowd going, and they get the crowd where the rest of the card wants them to be for their matches.
Yeah, because first you get the music. They've got the very catchy music, and they come out and dance and do the New Day Rocks thing. Then they do a lot of the false finishes and the high-flying spots, and their finishers kick ass. So generally, it's even whether they win or lose, they get the crowd into the match. What did you think about the new finisher, the double stomp onto the knees?
It looks painful.
Yeah, it looks painful.
That's probably the only way I like the double stomp to the chest.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. Did they? I don't remember the commentary. I was kind of doing something else while watching the show. I saw the spot, but I don't know. Did they call it anything?
Not that I remember.
Yeah, because you know they come up with pretty catchy names. Like the Midnight Train and, you know, all sorts of moves. But I thought they did really well. Sheamus and Cesaro, it's one of those things. This rivalry, their matches never get old. To me, it's like the main roster's version of Undisputed Era versus Mustache Mountain. They're so good, they always find a different way to entertain you. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so it was very... It was a very entertaining match. I dig it. On to the next match, because, again, we have 10 of these. We had Charlotte Flair against Becky Lynch. It's for singles match for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. Before we go to the results, how did you feel about how it was worked?
I'm going to be honest. I did not enjoy this match. The only thing in this match that stood out was that Charlotte had a violent-looking spear on Becky Lynch.
Yeah, let's see. The one thing I like is that knee thing in the corner where she draped her knee and then jumped down on her knee through it. I just think that move looks really cool and painful, and especially if you're working to work the leg. What I did not like in this match is that Charlotte was dominant. Becky, I mean, again, that is a common WWE trope. The heel or the face dominates for a couple weeks. And then Charlotte dominated this match. It was just like, it's one of those things. You got to let Becky get her new offenses. She has a new aggressive character. I think the moves that she does should project that. I would like to see her, and like, I don't feel like you should steal or become another character, but I don't mind when you borrow from other characters. I would love for her to do the Stone Cold thing where she gets you in the corner and basically stumps a mud hole in you. I think that would be something great for her new character. Because, you know, when you have a new character, I hate when people have a new character and do the same old moves. How do you feel about that?
No, I agree. Yeah, if you're going to change your character and go from heel to face or face to heel or just drastically change it and whatever, you've got to change your moveset a little bit. And I feel like in the ring, Becky hasn't done a whole lot to change her moveset. It definitely didn't show in this match. And this was honestly one of my least favorite matches on the card.
Yeah, and you got 10 minutes. It wasn't like you got a 3-minute match. You had 10 minutes. Show who the new Becky Lynch is. I'm not saying not really who the new, but who the adjusted Becky Lynch is. I know fans like you already, But if you, you know, just throw some attitude in there. Throw some badass in there. You got this badass character. Throw a little badass in the match. Like I said, I think Dean Ambrose has done a great job of adjusting to his new character. You know?
Right.
Yeah, like he doesn't do that, the ricochet off the rope. He overused that before he left. Now he barely uses it at all. And it's just, you know, that's the kind of things. It's like when your character's going to change, when you're going to come back from a long time, use it to get better, use it to adjust. With Becky, they're putting the spotlight on you. They put the belt on you. Try some new shit. You know? I mean, you've proven that the fans aren't going to boo you no matter what. Why not try something new?
Yeah, I mean, you at this point, she has to. I mean, why? You need to change it up that way it doesn't get stale. And I was one of the ones, I didn't want to see Becky as champ. I don't care for Becky as champ. Her promos have been a lot better since she's been heel. I'll give her that. But this so far, this championship run has not been enjoyable to me.
Yep, and the result of this match, the reason I brought this up last, because it was kind of crappy. Charlotte had Becky in the figure eight, about to win the match. Becky grabs the belt and hits her with it on the knee. Two things. Figure eight, I've just noticed something. And I might have noticed it before and said it, but honestly, I feel like I'm just noticing this. When she goes up for the figure eight, right, literally her foot is flat and she's bending backwards. And the person's arms are free. Why don't they just trip her?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's I haven't noticed that.
You know, like literally, your arm, if you put your arm straight down, you are literally at her foot because of how she has to angle herself to get in the figure eight position. You could literally just pull her foot up where she can't get in the figure eight position. I would like to see someone do that just once. It's kind of like that thing with the calf crusher. When he does it correctly, he is in perfect position for you to just choke him or rake him. But, you know, I understand wrestling. You're in so much pain, you don't grab it. So, but like I said, just one day, one wrestler. I don't want it to happen every match. That would be stupid. One match, just like some, like Asuka or Ronda, just reach out, trip her. Don't allow her to get in the figure eight position. You know, it would just be like I said. It's a reverse that would be somewhat logical.
Yeah, it's kind of like how Zack Sabre says, if somebody's going to jump off some high shit, just move.
Yeah, and I don't need, and like I said, I don't want everybody to do the Zack Sabre thing because I like when people jump off high shit. But, you know, for Zack Sabre, it works.
Right.
All right, so, yeah, so Becky gets disqualified. Charlotte tries to attack her after the match. Becky gets the best of her. I think they missed a spot there, and I don't know if they were trying for it, and they were just out of spot. Didn't it look like she was about to explode her into the guard rail or whatever?
Yeah, and they came up short and just landed on the mat.
Yeah, so it just looked like it was like, I don't know if they meant to or not. It just looked, but if you're a wrestling fan that watches way too closely like we do, it looks like she needed to step back like one step so she could have exploded her right into the guardrail thing. But whatever. Hey, it got the point across. Becky will do anything to keep the belt. When Charlotte finally overcomes that, if she's the person that overcomes that, it'll be much more a triumphant win because now they are she's overcoming the dirty heel, Becky, which, again, they want them to be a heel. I mean, literally, they did the fist exchange, and it was booing Charlotte and cheering Becky. I mean, understand, heel and face isn't anymore about how you act. Heel and face is about whether they like you or not.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're kind of tired of Charlotte, so they're cheering Becky. You know, if Becky has a long title run, they'll get tired of Becky. It's just kind of what wrestling is now. And Becky's not the Miz. She doesn't know how to flip the crowd on her. She just doesn't. So she's just kind of riding a wave. All right, and on to our next match. My least favorite match of the night. Bobby Lashley and John Cena wrestled against Elias and Kevin Owens. First of all, I hate that Lio Rush didn't show.
Right.
That's the most entertaining part about Bobby Lashley. Second of all, I hate John Cena's new hair, But hey, your hair choice, it's probably for a movie, so really can't bitch about that. I mean,
right.
If somebody pays me millions of dollars, I'll grow out my hair too. So, yeah, but he definitely has dad hair.
Yeah.
He has dad hair. Elias and Kevin Owens, very entertaining. They made some reference about a rugby or soccer team that I didn't get.
Yeah, Cottonwood's an Australian football club over there, and the only reason I know anything about them is because former Oklahoma State basketball player Mason Cox plays for them.
That's awesome. So, yeah, they took a cheap shot. They like taking the cheap shots at sports teams. It worked for Elias. He was on the ESPN's cover most of the week because he made fun of Seattle. So, yeah, kind of an uneventful match. And in an act of sacrilege, John Cena delivered his sixth moon of doom after doing the attitude adjustment. He delivered his sixth moon of doom. I don't remember the name of it. It's a Chinese name, but basically it was a back fist, and it was the weakest looking back fist ever.
Yeah, Elias did a good job selling it because it. I don't buy that as something Cena does.
Yes. So let me tell you, if I was in a match, I know Cena's a big guy. He's a strong guy. If I was in the match, I would have just said, Cena, just backhand me as hard as you can. Because that looked weak. It just it looked like he pulled it, you know? And again, I understand it's fake fighting. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But it can't look fake. You know? It was like the reason I didn't like the Big Show doing the punch is because you could tell Big Show was pulling his punch.
Yeah.
I don't like this backhand because I can tell he's pulling. Like I said, I'm like, the backhand is stupid. And this was very much, if you noticed, it was a comedic match. And it had a comedic ending, but whatever. And then Johnson.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, go. You know, you go for it. It sounds like you're asking color.
Yeah, one thing that from this, and I may be overreaching or looking at something weird here because I've never seen this before, but is this the first time Cena's came out wearing a black T-shirt?
Yes, it was a black and white T-shirt. And then, actually, you know what's sad? I thought it was cool. Like, if I liked John Cena in the least, I would buy that shirt.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot better than the bright lime green or stuff like that that he's done in the past, which I don't mind all the colors. Some of them look pretty cool, but I'm not a fan of Cena's. I just thought it was odd that he was in a black shirt. I've never noticed that. I've never seen him in one before.
Straight black and white. Did it say, you can't stop me?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of cool. And, you know, it's saying, and then it had the C crossed out, like, you can't stop me. And I was like, I thought the shirt. Like, I have not liked a lot of his shirts. Like, his red series I liked, in this shirt I like. Fruity Pebbles all the way. He took the fruit out of his pebbles.
Yep.
Then went black and white. Yeah, but John Cena pinned Elias with that amazing backhand, which will continue the rivalry between Bobby Lashley, Leo Rush, Elias, and Kevin Owens this week, probably on Raw. I saw that they all were flying back. They pretty much wrestled, and to me it seemed like they flew back, but it was like 12 hours later that they're on their way back here to have Raw in America. I'm not big on wrestlers, the sacrifice wrestlers make, because, you know, they get paid a lot of money and they travel. They're not sacrificing shit for me. They're getting paid. So shout out to them, though, because their jobs are really, really hard. I'm never gonna say you're sacrificing for me. I'm never gonna take that. But I will say your jobs are fucking hard.
Yeah, that's something I would have thought they would have done a Raw and SmackDown over there to avoid all the crazy travel.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But hardcore, I mean, you know, I salute you for that travel schedule, because you got to get over here. Basically, you're going back a day. because that's the one thing about Australia is when you travel from Australia, depending on your flight, you can actually land 2 hours earlier than you left.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, because, you know, they're 15 hours ahead of us, and depending on how long your flight is, you can it it's shorter to fly than the time difference. So you get a day back when you fly. You lose a day going there, and you get a day back when you could come back. Next match, fourth match, we had the Iconics, Billy Kay and Peyton Royce. Australia's own, the Iconics, let me say that. And they wrestled Asuka and Naomi, and in no shock to anyone, the Iconics won the match. Did you find anything about this match?
No, I knew this match was exactly what I thought it was going to be. It was going to be a match to put the Iconics over in their hometown, in front of their friends and family, and tell the story of them coming from Australia. It did exactly what I expected it to, and nothing more.
Through four matches, this was super house showy.
Yeah.
I mean, through four matches, very house showy. And I can honestly say, to me, like, only a few matches made it feel like not like a house show. So now we go to the fifth match. Probably my second favorite match of the night, AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. AJ Styles retains by submission. What did you think of it?
Solid match. I was surprised at the finish. Like, I did not think that Joe was going to tap out. I found that very odd. But yeah, it was a good match. It was, excuse me, probably my number three match of the night. But yeah, it was a good match, solid. There was Joe putting on the Kikina clutch in several different positions and finding different ways to get it on was cool. Just so happened they'd either be by the ropes or something like that, or where he could roll out of the ring and cause him to break it and different things. But it was a solid match. It wasn't near as no DQ-like as I thought it would be. It picked up a little bit towards the end. But I like the first half of the match, I'm like, I thought this was a no DQ match. And yeah, it was just kind of a match, but it was good.
They did something I actually enjoy. WWE has this habit of in no DQ matches, when the wrestler gets to the rope, the ref breaks it. And that is not supposed to happen. Because right. If you hold on to the ropes, the only problem is that you're supposed to get DQ'd. So if it's no DQ, the rope break don't count. They did a really good job of taking that into consideration, especially in the end. He had on the calf crusher. Joe reaches for the ropes, realizes that doesn't do anything, and then just taps out.
Yeah.
And I really like that because Samoa Joe was really strong, talking a big game. And if you're trying to get revenge for your family, you don't want a pinfall. You don't want a roll up. You want to make this person give up. I truly don't think this is the end of the Joe and AJ Styles thing, but I enjoyed the match. It should be. I would like Joe to look for another victim because right now it's just like, these matches should feel special, and they didn't.
Yeah, I was not a fan of it. I hated this feud. This is probably one of my least favorite feuds of the year with the way they did it. And I hope Joe goes on to somewhere else, and I hope AJ goes on to what we'll talk about here in a little bit.
Yeah, like I said, that match series should have just been proving about who's better. When Samoa Joe came out that first night and says, I have beaten you for titles in every company we've been into, that was all the storyline needed. How AJ Styles doesn't think he can beat Samoa Joe. And especially like with that first match with Joe actually tapping out Styles before the pin, that would have fit perfect into that storyline. But yeah. No, they went with this whole him attacking, going to his wife and stuff. And it's just like, Joe thinking he's better than AJ Styles, I can believe. Because two friends, one of the friends, might think he's better than the other person. But we all know Joe. AJ Styles did a Stone Cold interview and said the three people he would call in this world, 2 o'clock in the morning and needing a ride, Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, and Samoa Joe. So do you really think we think Samoa Joe would terrorize his family?
Yeah.
So it's just like it's like we're in a reality era, but that went so against reality, made it impossible for me to suspend my disbelief. That's how I felt. I mean, like, I know Tommaso Ciampa and Gargano are friends in real life, but I could see someone snapping, getting injured and snapping and not wanting the world to forgive them. And because of that, they attack Johnny Gargano, right? And then he comes back and he was like, I've already broken it. There's not anything I can do. And they just kind of go along with it. But Gargano never attacked Candice LeRae. Never went after Candice. I mean, Ciampa never attacked Candice LeRae. Because you know what? That would be going past the idea of two friends having a falling out. And that would just go to, like, I want to ruin your life, which... That was not what that feud was supposed to be about. So if you ever want to look at how I can take suspend my disbelief in one case and not suspend my disbelief in another case, just look at those two things. Two people we know are friends, and it was like they did a storyline. Gargano and Ciampa, one of the best like rivalries I've seen ever. And then AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, it was a swing and a miss.
Yep, you pretty much covered that pretty good.
Yeah. So next match, we get into the Bella Twins and Ronda Rousey defeated the Riot Squad. Now, I'm not going to even talk about this match because I don't think there's anything to talk about. You have anything to say on this match?
No. The only thing that I would add to it is when Liv Morgan first got tapped in, it looks like she gave Brie Bella a little bit of a stiff shot to the head.
And you know what? You get your receipt.
Right.
But I'm going to actually segue to an unpopular opinion I put on the club, and I want to see what you – I want the world to hear it, and I want to see what you think about it, Ryan. Unpopular opinion. While Ronda Rousey is a badass and very awesome, I'm already bored with her. I need her to lose. What did you think about that?
I don't think I saw you post that, but I can understand where you're coming from. I'm not bored with her. Like, I get her being the dominant person and all that. I don't have an issue with it, but I want somebody just to come in and give her a challenge. Not necessarily her lose, but I want to see somebody come in and give her a challenge.
It's like, personally, I want Asuka to show up to Raw or something. The reason I say this, this is what I was getting to. And someone pointed this out and put it way better than I could. So I am going to actually steal his words because it's a story WWE loves telling. This is Doug Terrell. He's with our Loose Trunk groups in the UK. So go to YouTube, listen to Loose Trunks. I want to throw that out to you. Love Loose Trunks. It's a story WWE loves telling, and unless it is someone like Brock who is part-time, it loses its buzz way too quick, especially as Ronda is already champion. You could do great story of her slipping up and being outsmarted by more of a veteran. He said, please not Charlotte. Maybe someone like Banks, Bayley, Lynch. Then you can bring in Baszler and do the whole horsewoman thing scaled down. That was part of what we said. Or just have her someone kick her in the head. It's just that's what you want to see. It just feels like there's no opposition to her. And we've just seen this with Brock Lesnar and Asuka. Asuka didn't lose for what, like 2 years? So
something like that, yeah, this, 2.5 years.
This dominant, I can't beat me character we've already seen recently in a woman as far as WrestleMania. Then, a reason I think Asuka lost is because I think they were about to do the same storyline with Ronda Rousey. Then you just had Brock Lesnar do the same thing for years and never lose. So it feels old even though it's with a new person.
Yeah, it's definitely a repeated story.
Yes, but it is not that it's a repeated story. Like, I am not one of those fans that if it's ever been done before, you can't do it again. What I'm saying is this has been continual for the last 2 years, and now you just picked another person to play the same character. And, yeah, it's not interesting. I want her to have some kind of resistance. why isn't Sasha Banks challenging Ronda Rousey? You know, before she got injured, why wasn't Sasha Banks challenging Ronda Rousey? Why wasn't Bayley, Sasha Banks and Bayley, multiple-time Raw champions, why weren't they challenging Ronda Rousey? And they're both very talented. I'm pretty sure they can carry her. But right now she just comes in and, you know, that whip armbar thing she does a lot. She does that little judo throw, and then she taps you out. And it's not interesting. And it's not drawing. You know? Raw ratings are going the wrong way. You use, like, Ronda Rousey is this international draw with mainstream appeal. You're not getting it. Well, the ratings are telling you you're not getting it. So, like, it's not working. So try something else.
I agree completely.
So, yeah. So it's not working. Try something else. I don't have a problem with Ronda Rousey. I'm actually freaking in love with Ronda Rousey. I think she's gorgeous. I love the fact that she's tough. I love her attitude. I hate that she hates losing. I hate that it literally breaks her when she loses. Because that's kind of how of a competitor I am when I compete at something. It breaks me when I lose. And so I completely understand that. What we need to see is Ronda Rousey break. Like I said, I know you probably want to save the loss or whatever for a Mania or a SummerSlam or whatever. But a shocking roll-up loss, oh, my God. That would be so amazing. Like, she's in the match. He's like, oh, she's going to wrestle Ruby Riott, right? And she gets distracted. Ruby Riott rolls her up and pins her. Oh, my God. It would be interesting. Because no one's expecting Ronda Rousey to lose till WrestleMania. And when the result is not in question, you stop caring. That's how I feel. Like, next match of the night, in my opinion, and I feel like it was match of the night by a lot. We had Buddy Murphy, the hometown guy from Australia. He came out literally wearing an Australian flag against the champion, the king of the Age of Alexander, Cedric Alexander. Okay, before the match, we didn't do really a preview or prediction, did we? No.
No.
Okay, who did you think was going to win before the match?
I thought Sed was going to win.
Yes, I thought the Age of Alexander was going to continue. And I thought, Cedric won in Charlotte, and I thought they were just going to drive the home the fact and have buddies like, I beat you in my house, and I beat you in your house, and they were going to push the Age of Alexander. Before we talk about the result, let's talk about the match. Oh, my God, this was such a good match. They worked so well together.
Yeah, it was entertaining. It was exciting. There were some amazing spots. Got another move that people shouldn't kick out of.
What?
The top rope missionary driver.
Yes, that was a really good one.
That was a pretty move.
Yes, that was an amazing move. Cedric hits the top rope Mikinoku driver on Buddy Murphy. And in a shocking moment, Cedric hits his backflip rock bottom move. What do they call it? I'm blanking right now.
His finisher?
No, the backflip, the flip move, the flip rock
bottom. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Good Lord. It was called, when Frankie Kazarian used to do it off the top ropes, it was called the flux capacitor. For some reason, my brain cannot register what it is right now. I do apologize. Probably should have wrote it down. But he hits that move, and then he hits the lumbar check. Flat out, basically middle of the ring, and he pins Buddy Murphy. What was shocking is the next moment. Buddy Murphy becomes the first person in the WWE, they kick out of the lumbar check. We've had foots on the ropes. We've had rolling out the ring. But he was the first person to just flat out kick out of that move. It was one of the most protected finishers in the WWE. How shocked were you when that happened?
I thought it was over. I would have never guessed. Like, if somebody would have tried to bet me money that he would have kicked out, I would have rejected that bet in a heartbeat. There's no way I thought he was kicking out of it. that's been one of the most protected moves in the WWE.
So he kicks out of the move, and a few moves later, he hits Cedric with that beautiful high knee that he co-opted from Kenny Omega, or in homage to Kenny Omega, because he throws the knee really well. He then wraps up him and puts him in his finisher, which, good Lord, what's it called?
No. I'm having a brain fart on moves today.
Yeah. I don't know why. Why I'm having a brain fart on finishers. It's a pump handle Death Valley driver, and I always forget what his move is called. And you know what? I'm not moving until I know what this move is called, because I feel bad. Because, you know, finishing move, Murphy's Law. Damn it, Murphy's Law. It's a pump handle. Yeah, it says pump handle lift into a whale hunt. I don't know what that is, but yeah. So he hits Murphy's Law, and Cedric doesn't kick out. We have a new cruiserweight champion. Were you as shocked as I was?
I was excuse me. I was sitting there watching it on my phone on the network, and when it happened, I was like really into this match, and when it happened, my jaw just dropped. I did not see it happening. I thought for sure Sed was going to kick out, and then something was going to happen, and it was going to be a quick finish from there, like a roll up or something like that. But, yeah, this incredible match, easily by far the match of the night. Nothing's even close to it. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I was shocked as all get out. And I look forward to see where we go with Buddy Murphy as champ.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. I think there's going to be a rubber match because Sed won at home. Murphy won at home. I think we're going to get a rubber match. Maybe it's Saudi Arabia. I'm thinking November 2nd, Saudi Arabia. They need, it's a bunch of men. They need a bunch of male matches. So I'm guessing we get the rematch then. But I am looking forward to what 205 is live is like with Buddy Murphy as champion. I also looking forward to see what 205 like with a pissed off Cedric Alexander. I want to know how they do it. Is they're going to do it like pissed off, you got me, I want a rematch? Or are they going to kind of do like, I can't believe I lost kind of thing with Cedric Alexander? I don't know which one they're going to do. I'm looking forward to it. I thought he was a great champion. He had a great run. His feud with Drew Gulak was great. This has been one of the longest title runs of the cruiserweight division. I think Neville's first and then him, because he won it at Mania, you know, and it's just October before he lost it. So the agent, yeah, Alexander was really good. And I think, you know, if you wanted to bring, if your point was to bring respect to the championship, he did it.
He defended it against several different people. There's a lot of good defenses there and good matches. He did a good job with the title.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good run for him. So I'm hoping, I don't know what they're going to do as far as match three. And, you know, but I would prefer it be at like something like Survivor Series. I would like them to, and I'd like it to be on the main show. But the Saudi Arabia thing is going to be watched too. So don't get me wrong. I won't mind if it's at Saudi Arabia. The next match, Shield versus the Dogs of War, Braun Strowman, Dolph Ziggler, and Drew McIntyre. What did you think of this match, sir?
Meh. Didn't enjoy it. The coolest thing about this match was the Shield's entrance. The entrance looked really good. But as far as the match itself, I did not enjoy it. This was actually one of my bottom two, three matches on the card.
My only thing about it is I didn't like the result. That's it. I thought the match was executed as well as a six-man match could be executed from a person that doesn't like six-man matches. I thought they did a good job. My biggest issue is I think the Dogs of War should have won. It pushes them as an actual threat to the Shield. So, because, you know, as far as it, they've gotten the best of them, you know, outside of the ring, outside of matches. But, you know, you always knew if they went one three-on-three, the Shield were going to win. I would have liked, you know, a slip on a banana peel. You know, Superman punches Dean like what happened in the match. Dolph tackles Roman out of the ring. Braun power slams Dean Ambrose, and they lose. Dean Ambrose is pissed off because Roman Reigns cost him the match as a three. That continues the storyline. But instead, we get the house show finish to me.
Yeah, no, you're right. This was very much a house show kind of card.
Yeah, Dolph gets pinned because, you know, they protected Braun and they protected Drew. Dolph takes the pin by Dean, who they wanted to look strong. I mean, I could have told you that's what it was going to be before the show. I know we didn't do a prediction show, so it's easy for me to say it hindsight, but really, I mean, Dean pinning Dolph, Roman pinning Dolph. Somebody was going to pin Dolph. Dolph was taking the pin. It's kind of like Dolph is in that three to take the pin. So that's
funny.
Then the next match. I found this match, the next match, kind of hilarious. Daniel Bryan and The Miz. And in 2 minutes and 25 seconds, they were doing a transition that normally happens in their matches. Daniel Bryan rolls up The Miz and gets the 1-2-3. What did you think?
I've had to watch this match three times because it didn't even 2 minutes and 25 seconds, according to the Wikipedia, is how long this match lasted. The first time I was watching it, I looked away for a second from the screen to grab something, and next thing you know, it was over. So I started the match over. Same thing happened. The third time, I said, forget it. I'm just going to watch it. I still don't – this match, with the feud they've had, I feel like this match was way too short. I don't like it. I get it. It's going to add on to The Miz and the way he talks, and it's going to add to the rivalry and the feud. I totally get that. I just felt like this match should have been a lot longer.
Did you see The Miz's Instagram post?
I did not.
His shoulder wasn't down.
Ah, okay. Well,
that's how
there we go. That's what's going to happen next. That's the story.
That's what they're going to continue. And so Daniel Bryan wins with the small package. The Miz's shoulders weren't down. I don't know if that was planned or if that was a mistake, but The Miz's left shoulder wasn't down. They show AJ Styles watching the video, so it was Daniel Bryan fighting Daniel Bryan against AJ Styles, and it was announced that it's going to happen in Saudi Arabia. But now that The Miz put that out, maybe we get The Miz sneaking his way into Saudi Arabia or maybe making it a triple threat match.
Yeah, there's a lot of different directions they could go with this with that post. I didn't see it, but with what you're saying, they've done this before, and it always veers off course a little bit to include that when something like this happens.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles. Yeah, I think it needs to be a triple threat match. I think you save Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles for a bigger show.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia shows are cash grabs. I know that. We all know that. They're cash grabs. They're doing the show to get cash. I just don't think anything major should happen at those shows. So, last match. Was this your favorite match, sir?
Let me tell you about it. Yeah.
All right, so I will let you talk about this match.
I don't understand why this match was on the card. I know why it was. I mean, I don't get it, but I know why. They got paid a bunch of money to go to a country. The people in charge of that country said, "We want to see these people. You get to see these people." Triple H with Shawn Michaels and Undertaker with Kane in his corner. This, in my opinion, was a complete shit show. The only person that has any business being in a match is Triple H. He's the only one, maybe Kane, but Taker and Shawn, they're done. Taker could barely stand up at multiple points in this match. It looked like he was just about to keel over and fall over just because he was so tired and out of breath. I did not enjoy this at all. I give this match a dud on my scale. If I never see Undertaker in the ring again, I'm okay with it. I don't understand. I don't like that they did this. And then to top it all off, it was announced at the beginning as a no DQ match, so you knew there was going to be all sorts of other shenanigans and stuff happening. There wasn't one thing in this match that I enjoyed. I watched it because I knew we were going to talk about it, but if we weren't going to talk about this show, I would have turned it off after Daniel Bryan and The Miz. This was just a... If they wouldn't have got paid millions of dollars to go to Australia to do this show, this match doesn't happen, and I don't like that. It's a glorified house show. This match felt like a house show match to me, just with the stipulation of the no DQ, and we're going to see it again. We're going to, with what happened at the end of the match, after everything was all said and done, we're going to see this again, and I'm going to be up front now. I won't watch it.
All right. For me, this 20 years ago, there was the Attitude Era. And I was a big fan of the Attitude Era. And in every way, this was an Attitude Era match. And I enjoyed it quite a bit. I was over the moon. We got to see all our spots. Yes, they were old. They were old. It was a nostalgia act. But I really actually enjoyed the match. It was exciting. I didn't know who was going to win. Triple H brought out the Sledgehammer, which is my old friend. And when they did a bunch of callbacks to WrestleMania. And they had it where Triple H was in the Hell's Gate. But this time, he was close enough to grab the Sledgehammer and used it to choke out The Undertaker. Shawn Michaels gave Undertaker the sweet chin music, went right into the pedigree, one of my favorite combinations ever, and he got the 1-2-3. It was a shit show, and it shouldn't have been entertaining to me. And let's just say Roman Reigns was like Undertaker, and this was just a regular tag match. I'm like, oh my God. Why were they trying to do an Attitude Era match? But they brought four people that were there at the Attitude Era, and I enjoyed it immensely, way more than I should. I'm telling anybody that. Was this a classically worked match? No. But to me, it was flat out fucking fun. I wouldn't say it was an A. It was just entertaining for me. I just enjoyed it. It was like it brought out this child in me back when I was scared of The Undertaker and Kane. Yeah, like I said, they look a little different, except Triple H. He's just as cut as he ever has been because that boy stays ready. And, you know, and it's funny, we watched wrestling back then, and Triple H had the long hair, and Shawn Michaels has the long hair, and Triple H now has the shaved head. Shawn Michaels is fucking bald. Undertaker's got the hair, and Kane's wearing a wig. We all know that's a wig with hair on it. So it's like they're old as fuck. Don't get me wrong. They're old as fuck. So, but, hey, like I said, I was entertained. I was very sports entertained by that, and it ended great. I got really upset when they started shaking hands and raising each other's arms because I'd heard we were going to get DX Forces, the Brothers of Destruction, at Saudi Arabia, and I was like, I hate handshakes. You just literally tried to kill the man with a sledgehammer. Now you're going to shake his hand? Again, gets me out of my reality. But then you get the Brothers of Destruction destroying Triple H and Shawn Michaels after all the glad handing, which is how that should happen in a fight. The person that got beat up should be pissed. And that's how the show goes off the air, which is great. I am happy. Let me just say, I'm going to say, letter grade, Ryan, what did you give the show?
Before C minus.
Okay. As a wrestling fan as me, I'm going to say B. I gave it a B. But for the people of Australia, my boys, my people that are there, A. I give it an A for them. I am very happy that they got a show. I'm very happy that they got a live show. I'm very happy that they got the nostalgia acts. They got they put the Australians over. Come on, man.
They did.
They put the Australians over. Now, two things I do wish. I wish Toni Storm was there. I mean, I don't think she had to have that big a role. You could have threw her in the six-man match or whatever. I wish Toni Storm was there, and because I wish they would have, you know, some of the up-and-comers in NXT that are Australian, go ahead and push them. And I think Toni Storm would have been a nice person on there, and I just thought it would have been awesome. But, yeah, I wouldn't have changed the show at all. It was what it needed to be for what it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get it. It was perfect for the people that were there. It was what a lot of them wanted to see because they don't get shows over there very often.
Yeah, it's like you're a kid in Australia. You don't have the money to travel to America. Your family doesn't have the money to travel to America. This show's right down the road. You get to go, and for the first time in your life live, you get to hear the Undertaker gong. I will tell anyone, it's one of the best things ever. The first time you hear it. When you're like me and have seen it 100 times, you do become jaded and it becomes nothing. But when you're there for the first time, it is amazing. It is everything you want it to be. I wish I haven't got to talk to Jacob yet. I kind of wanted to get him on the show to get like a live person's feed of it. But he really enjoyed it. I mean, I'm guessing he enjoyed it. And I'm guessing his friends enjoyed it. It's like he says it was some people that had never been to a live wrestling show. So, I really think that was awesome that was their first show. They got the full WWE experience. So, shout out to everyone in Australia. Glad you got your chance. I doubt anyone listens from Australia here. But if you do, I'm giving you a shout out because I'm happy for you. But that's it for our Super Showdown review. So if that's all you came called in, all you tuned in to listen to, that's it. But we're going to go through a couple more things that happened this week in wrestling. First of all, being the second round of the Mae Young Classic. Ryan, you got the matches?
I do.
All right. What was the first match on the night, sir?
The first match was Australia's own Toni Storm and versus Hiroyo Matsumoto.
Yes, Lady Godzilla.
Yes.
And so
this was a solid match, hard hitting. Toni Storm got the win, but at multiple points in this match I thought it was going either way. So it was very good. I wasn't surprised on the outcome, but it was one of those that I thought at multiple points either competitor could have won.
Yes, Toni, they had a point where Matsumoto, or I will just call her Lady Godzilla because I have a problem with her last name, hits her actual finisher. And Toni Storm was able to get her foot under the rope. That was the turning point of the match. Toni Storm hits her Tiger Driver, being referred to as Storm Zero, which is like the third move they've called Storm Zero. Well, second move they've called Storm Zero. Third move in wrestling called Storm Zero. And she gets the win with that finisher. Yeah, I thought it was a really well-worked match. I don't know if they had worked together, but it looked like they had worked together before because they were a lot more stiff than normal. And I just thought it was a really worked match, really well-worked match. I'd match you with the B, but we had an amazing match later in the night. So what was the second match?
The second match was Rhea Ripley versus the American Ninja Warrior, Casey Contazzaro.
Okay. I'm going to say my part about this. Rhea Ripley is a fucking star. Oh, my God. She just has a presence, a look, a badass. She's tall. She's big in the right way and, you know, in shape. But then she has that pretty face. You know what I mean? It's like you're a badass, but you look at her face, she's gorgeous. You know what I mean? And then she was going against Casey Cazzaro. I mean, Casey's really good, but you can tell Rhea carried this match. Like that one move that it turned into the DDT, and it was basically Rhea Ripley spinning her around and then Casey Cazzaro DDTing her. Did that not look amazing?
It looked really good. That was impressed.
Yes, because, I mean, I don't know if they worked on it, but it looked like a straight fucking cheerleader move. And it looked like you spent hours working on this. She went through the front, spent her all the way around, and then caught her with the DDT. I think Casey Cazzaro is a star in the making. But it's like they're going to have to book her differently than everyone else because she's so small. But she's so athletic and can do so much stuff. She, I mean, she could basically be like a Rey Mysterio type if they wanted to.
Yeah.
I would almost, you know, put her in a mask because she's like fucking superhuman how she moves.
Yeah, she's very much a Rey Mysterio, Mysterio, a Kalisto type performer. She's athletic as hell. She can fly around the ring, and some of the stuff that she does, it shouldn't be able to be done. That's how athletic she is.
Yes, and then Rhea Ripley. I don't know what it is about. She's Australian, right?
I think so.
Or is it New Zealand Australian? I try not to mix those two up. I know how sacrilegious that is. But I don't remember on Rhea. I think she's Australian because Jacob loves her, and he's been telling me about her forever. Yeah, she's from Adelaide, Australia, another Australian, and she's tall, and she's super athletic. And I don't know what it is about Australians and the pump handles, but they do a lot of good things from pump handle. She does a pump handle power bomb, and she ended Casey Cazzaro's dream run with the pin, but she was – yeah, she was fucking awesome. Or I don't know. Are you as high on her as I am?
Oh, yeah, yes, definitely. She's going to be a future women's champion. She's really good.
Yeah, it's like if Charlotte would have started in her early 20s. You know what I mean? That's how I see her. She's 21. And, like, yeah, I mean, she's 21. She has 3 years of experience already. But she's just built like a star. It's like – push her to the top really quickly. Hopefully her head doesn't get too big and she works on keep getting better, because, you know, she's amazing. She is really, really good at this. And I hope to have her in a nice long career. And hopefully they keep her in the developmental area for about 2 or 3 years and really let her dominate it. And then and then she bring her up to the main roster when she actually has a spot.
Right. Yeah, definitely, for sure. She's somebody that she's, you know, when she comes in, I want to see her versus Shayna Baszler. I think that would be a really good match. I think when she does get on NXT on a routine basis, she's going to skyrocket to the top.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm all about it. And then what was the next match? Was it only three matches this week or four?
There was four. Okay. The third match on the night was the upset of the first round, Lacey Lane versus Tainara Conti.
Yeah, Tainara Conti. She's okay. Brazilian.
I struggled with her name.
Black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. She, if you remember, if people aren't familiar, she teamed up with the Undisputed Era once, and she fought Nikki Cross, I believe, and got beat up really bad. But yeah, Tainara Conti, she's awesome. Like I said, she's the BJJ Brazilian chick, and she comes in and she does this thing on regular matches. She'll yell, "Are you crazy?" And then that's when she snaps and wins. Well, she kind of did this against Lacey Lane, and she got that crucifix bomb, which is kind of cool looking when done correctly. I thought the first chick in the first round took it better than Conti did, but I'm pretty sure it's just because the chick in the first round was like 6'2", you know, and she had complete control of the move. But she rolls up Conti for the win. You consider that an upset?
Yeah. In this round, I mean, Lacey Lane, it was definitely an upset in the first round. I think it wasn't a huge upset in the second round. But I do think it was an upset. Like, this is like that underdog. I don't think you have any business advancing, but somehow you're finding a way to do it. That's kind of how I see this.
Yeah. And that was awesome. I thought it was a decently worked match. Honestly, would have gave it kind of a C. But, Lacey Lane pulls out the win. She is trained by the Dudley Boys. She trained at the Dudley Boys Academy. And it's funny because I don't know how you call it the Dudley Boys Academy, because Devon's a full-time road agent, and Bubba's a worker who's always in New York doing that Busted Open show, right?
Yes.
So the school's in Florida, so who's training them?
I have no idea.
Now, I heard Billy Gunn's one of the trainers, but I'm just saying, if I go to the Dudley Boys Wrestling School, you know who I want training me?
The Dudley Boys.
Exactly. And so it's just, hey, like Landstorm's Wrestling School, guess who you train with every day? Landstorm. I'm not saying, like, Booker T, I know he works a lot on the road, and you don't get to train with him particularly a lot, but you do get to training sessions with him. He does do film with you and tell you what he sees wrong and stuff. It's like I want to interact. Like I said, I've never been to let me be clear. I've never been to Dudley Boys School. If somebody listening to this for like, the Dudley Boys are there every day. You don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you that. I'm openly admitting I don't know what I'm talking about. It's just, you know, you start putting puzzle pieces together, it doesn't seem like they're there very much. Maybe I'm wrong. So, let's see. And now it's on to the last match. And I think by far, so far, this is the match of the tournament.
I think it was the match of the night. I won't say it's the match of the tournament, but it was really good. It's definitely top two, top three of the tournament. It was Mercedes Martinez and Miko Satomura.
Yes. This is about as hard-hitting of a match we will see in a women's match. They were knocking the shit out of each other with those forearms. And whatever, they were stiff. They were stiff. Mercedes hit her finisher, right?
Yes.
And I had never seen anyone kick out of her finisher. Had you?
I have not. But then again, the only thing I've seen Mercedes do is the first Mae Young Classic and now this one. So.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And then the Mae Young Classic and matches she won, when she hit that move, it was over. But, you know, she kicked out. Satomura kicked out. She hit her Death Valley Driver. Right? Is that how she finished her? Okay.
I think so. I believe so, yes.
Yes. And that's how she won the match. So I was really entertained by this. I was really entertained by the match. If, let's say, I was giving it a scale, I definitely would have put it at 4 stars.
Yeah, I'm right there at 4 stars.
Yeah, so I thought that was an awesome match. I thought they put it together well. I thought they put the match together well, so I'm very happy about that. And I thought this was a solid week of the Mae Young Classic. And I got a little breaking news while we're here. NWO 70 show on October 21st, 2 weeks from today in Nashville, Tennessee, which your boy Floyd will be at. It will be Jazz, the current NWA women's champion. Apparently she's had this belt for like years, undefended. And she will be fighting Penelope Ford. That was just announced on the NWA site. And if you don't know who Ford
was, she the one with Joey Janela?
She was the one with Joey Janela at All In.
Ooh.
So yeah, she is a really good wrestler. She has some talent, and I'm really looking forward to seeing her wrestle. And she gets to sign my All In turnbuckle pad. Weird coincidence. Well, something that's annoying. Madison Rayne, who I was hoping this was going to be, because she was the fourth member of the women's match. Madison Rayne is actually going to be in Nashville the week before. I'm really thinking about overnighting the turnbuckle to have either Josh or Corey get it signed for me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I figure I'm going to get a chance to see Madison Rayne, especially since she signed with Ring of Honor. And we are Honor Club members, so I'm pretty sure she's going to be at a match eventually that we're at.
Yeah, or at least close enough to where you can get to it for a quick day trip.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure she's going to be in New York. So, you know, probably not going to press it. It's not that serious. I just take my turnbuckle pad with me to New York. I'm pretty sure everybody at All In will be in New York, whether working for the Fed or working for one of the companies around it. All right. So let's see. That was it for Mae Young. We didn't want to skip over that. I felt like it was one of the better weeks of the Mae Young Classic. We got the other four matches next week in the quarterfinals leading into the semis, right?
Yes.
Or is it leading into the quarterfinals? I don't know. But, yeah, so we got four more matches. And looking forward to those matches. So and we'll talk more about that next week. Okay, so we get through that. Pac, a.k.a. Neville, he debuted this week, re-debuted, because when you go back, it's a re-debut. He re-debuted in his promotion where he made his name, Dragon Gate, with a faction called Red. I could not find out what Red stood for. Some people might know this. I have literally never watched a Dragon Gate show. My experience with Dragon Gate is I know Moose, Ricochet, Akira Tozawa, and Neville all were in Dragon Gate USA at one point.
Yeah, that's about my experience with, yeah.
Yeah, I know a few names in Dragon Gate, but other than that, I'm not familiar with their factions or their storylines. I just know Pac debuted, attacked someone. It looks like he's in a heel faction because he was very much doing that, the same kind of Neville that he was doing for 205 Live, like King of the Cruiserweight style, talking very evilly. So I imagine it's evil. But what do you think about him picking Dragon Gate when, like, every company outside of them were looking for him?
I'm kind of like, obviously, I don't know Neville. I've never talked to Neville, never met him, never really listened to an interview with him outside of him doing WWE promos. But I'm kind of shocked. But at the same time, it's like you said, he's going home. He's going to where he made his name. So maybe there's something there to where with the guy that runs the person that runs the company and the promotion, the booker, that he's going to try to help them get that to the next level where more people know about it. But yeah, I thought for sure he was going to end up like in a New Japan or something like that.
Yeah, I feel like the money was in New Japan. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, shout out to Neville. Be happy. I mean, honestly, if he was just about the money, he would just stay in the WWE. You know what I mean? So obviously that wasn't the most important thing for him. Do whatever it is to make you happy. I can say I'm looking forward to it, but, you know, I think you're all right, wrestler. So now I heard about Neville versus Will Ospreay is what they were getting. I heard that he was getting presented that for New Japan for Wrestle Kingdom. Yes. Sign me up.
That would be fun.
That all the way. Sign me up. Neville, that would be amazing. We're going to have King of Pro Wrestling Monday morning for New Japan. And at one of the matches, LAJ is supposed to be doing a new member. And a lot of people have speculated that it might be Neville, as in the role of he's going to be a free agent where he can wrestle anywhere. Just going really quick, I'm just going to go really quick over the lineup. We're not going to really preview it, but I'm just going to over the lineup real quick because I think it's a really solid lineup. We got Tiger Mask and Jushin Thunder Liger against the Suzuki Gun team of Desperado and Kanemaru, who for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship. We got Toa Hanare and Juice Robinson against Honma and Makabe. That is weird. I mean, and then this might be building for Tag League, because that's weird, because Honma, Makabe, Tanari, and Robinson are kind of in Taguchi. You know what I mean? They're not, but it's like when you're not in the other three, you're kind of Taguchi Japan. That's how I understand it. Maybe I understand it wrong. Then the third match, really shocking. They flew the Young Bucks over to be in a 4-on-4 match. Like Chase Owens, Hangman Page, and the Young Bucks versus Ishimori, the Gorillas of Destiny, and Bad Luck Fale. So it's basically Bullet Club Elite against
Firing Squad.
I'm pretty sure the Firing Squad's going to win that match, but just kind of weird that they would fly somebody over for one match. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Then we got the Chaos group of Ospreay, Goto, and Ishii against the Suzuki-gun group of Suzuki, Taichi, and Izuka, whatever. I don't know.
Now I can never say his name.
Now let's get to the matches that matter. We got Shoyo, Yano, and Okada representing the Chaos people that are, I guess, still with Okada versus Naito, Sonata, Bushi, LAJ group, and a person they got considered as X. So I guess he is going to be the new member of LIJ. We've heard the name Shingo, which is a person I'm not familiar with because I don't watch Noah. And then I've heard Pac, a.k.a. Neville, as the fourth member of LIJ, which it would be funny if he goes to Japan and joins two different factions in two different companies. That would be interesting. Yeah. That would be a different way of doing things. Then we get down to the nitty-gritty, and this is mostly when I start watching New Japan matches. I'm actually going to watch the whole show live and be tweeting out from our page. We're going to have King of Darkness Evil versus Zack Sabre Jr. This was built up at the USA show about Evil being really upset that he can't beat Zack Sabre Jr. Then we're going to have the junior heavyweight finals match. We're going to have Kushida against Marty Scurll. Now, I will ask you this. Who do you think is going to win that match?
I'm going to go with Kushida. I want Marty. Marty is one of my favorites, but I think I'm going to go with Kushida winning this one.
See, I'm going with Marty because I kind of think they're going to put the title on him the same reason they put the U.S. title on Cody, is just for visibility. Marty's everywhere. But I could see it going to Kushida to kind of try to placate the Japanese fans, that because no titles are basically on Japanese people right now. And it would give Kushida his sixth title run, so I think that would put him in like second place, sixth or seventh title run. And then for the briefcase in the Tokyo Dome, we've got Jay White and Tanahashi. Hiroshi Tanahashi and Jay versus Jay White. I think it's going to be a screwy finish where Okada cost Jay White.
That's very possible. I think Tanahashi's going to win. I want Jay White to win, but I think it's going to be Tanahashi.
Yeah. And then last but not least, we got a triple threat match. Kenny Omega, Kota Ibushi, and the American Nightmare. My boy, my favorite wrestler. The only reason I'm getting up at 2 o'clock to watch this show, Cody. Or Cody Rhodes. But he prefers just Cody. He actually says he can use the name Rhodes if he wants to, but he prefers just Cody. Now, me going wrestler worker stuff and trying to get in someone's head, I guarantee you he can use the name Rhodes, but if he puts Rhodes on a shirt, I'm pretty sure he has to cut WWE a check.
Very possible, because they own that name.
Exactly. I think he can use it, but he chooses not to because he doesn't want to cut WWE a check. And, you know, he's kind of frugal. You ask him. He says, I don't collect anything. I don't do anything. I don't spend all, you know. He talks about it quite often, how he saves everything as far as money. So that being said, yeah, it wouldn't shock me if he just didn't use the name. Like, the whole Hollywood Hogan thing, the reason they changed it to Hollywood Hogan, because it's when he was wrestling as Hollywood Hogan, he didn't have to cut Marvel a check.
Huh.
Yeah, because the name Hulk, when he started using Hulk, he had to cut Marvel a check. They made out a working agreement on the Hulk Hogan name. But, yeah, it was, so when he was Hollywood Hogan for those few years, he didn't have to cut Marvel a check because he wasn't using the name Hulk.
I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah. So the things people do. Yeah, so Cody doesn't use that name. I'm looking forward to this show. I think that's a solid lineup. you don't really get four singles matches outside of Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, it's a good lineup. This is a show unless I don't have to work tomorrow, so unless I'm just happen to still be awake, it'll probably be one I try to watch during the week where we can talk about it next week. It's a good lineup.
Only thing we're probably going to talk about is who the secret member of LAJ is, and if one of these, and then who wins the junior title. Because I honestly can say we probably, and if Jericho makes an appearance, because at New Japan shows, Jericho kind of just shows up when he wants to.
Very true, very true.
Yeah, so, no, but yeah, we won't talk about a lot. We don't do a lot of match by match on New Japan. I will refer you to Keeping It Strong Style on the Social Suplex Network, or if you go to voicesofwrestling.com, I will refer you to the Super J-Cast. Either one of those are, I at least listen to Super J-Cast every week. I listen to Social Suplex, the one on Social Suplex, Keeping It Strong Style, when they put out an episode. We met the people that did Keeping It Strong Style, Jeremy and Josh. We met them at All In. They're very nice dudes. They're very knowledgeable. It's one weird thing, because I am putting over the show. Josh and me don't agree on anything in person, but I agree with almost everything he says on the show. So weird. So weird. I will tell anybody that was it's the weirdest thing when he's on the show. Like, oh, I agree with that. But like in person, he's like, yeah, we don't like the same stuff, but we actually kind of do. But Jeremy's a great host. It's a great show. They give you insights into New Japan. And then Super J-Cast, you got the Damon. Now, Damon is the gatekeeper. You know, he's been watching New Japan since, like, forever, the early 90s. He's going to give you, and he has a memory like a steel trap. So he gives you a lot of color into the history of New Japan. And then you have Joel, who's more like me. Me and Joel literally started watching the same show. His first show was my first show. So it's always good to get his insight into it. And it's funny because he's a UK person, exported, and he lives in China. Not China, but he lives somewhere. Like, he lives in an Asian country. So it's like he's involved in both cultures, you know what I mean? So he always has a different take on things. So I enjoy both of those shows. I don't refer a lot of people to a lot of shows, but when you want the deep inside New Japan shows, I would go to either one of those. Do you agree, Ryan?
I agree. Yeah. And I have a question for you as you're bringing up one of these shows. The Super J-Cast, did you win the bet or did they win the bet?
They won the bet. I bet the Super J-Cast, and you can see on my Twitter, I sent them a shout-out, and they actually shouted me out on the show.
Oh, nice.
They actually said he challenged me. And then Damon, being the genius that he is, said we could have just edited the show to remove any reference to the WWE. And then he said, he's like, but you know what? We're men of our words, so we're going to do that. And he's like, I find we can do it because we have such a strong product to talk about on our own. And if you remember, I told Ryan, that was the point of it. The right. Point is, when you listen to a WWE podcast, they're going to be like, well, our show was actually entertaining, not compared to New Japan. They don't bring up New Japan. So why, when I'm listening to a New Japan podcast, do they always bring up the WWE and take shots? Doesn't make any sense to me. Your product is good on its own. You don't need to use your product to take shots at the WWE. Right. Separate products. And to me, if you don't want people to think of you WWE and New Japan as the same thing, you don't bring up WWE. Just like WWE doesn't bring up New Japan. They just bring up he wrestled in Japan, but they won't say he was in New Japan. You get what I mean?
Yes.
It's kind of like, I know they're not representative of New Japan. They said they would love to be the official podcast of New Japan. But they'd love to be the new podcast of Japan, but they can't. So, Ryan, for a second, could you talk about pretty much anything
Sure.
Yeah, give me a couple minutes. I will set this up. I'll be right back.
All right. So Floyd's going to talk about this a little bit when he gets back. But as y'all know, the new WWE 2K19 video game came out. Floyd and I both got the collector's Woo edition with the Ric Flair setup. So I went and picked mine up Thursday night. I was there about 8:45. The guy gave it to me a little bit early because they were staying open till 9:15 for people that pre-ordered. So I get it. I come home. I unbox. On the Around the Ring Facebook, I posted what I got. It came with a Ric Flair Funko Pop that was special to only 2K19. It came with a commemorative replica WWE Hall of Fame ring, which it's kind of cool, but when I took it out of the box and put it on, you can tell it's kind of it's what it is. It looked nice sitting out on a desk. I've got mine put up in a bag with the rest of my memorabilia. And then the thing that I was looking forward to the most, it came with a photo of Ric Flair and a piece of either his purple, one of his purple or pink robes. Now, I thought that was like the coolest thing that was going to be included in this. That was kind of like the thing that put it over the top for me to get it. And I wanted the pink robe. Well, I did the unboxing, and boy howdy, I got the pink robe. So I was ecstatic. That was my favorite robe that Flair wore when I was a kid. And I was able to get it. I got the game installed. I haven't had a chance to play the game yet, but the content that came with the game and you getting the Rey Mysterio and the Ronda Rousey download with it, it was really cool. And I can't wait till to play the game. But I got the Funko Pop put up with my rest of them. I got the pink robe, and I got the ring. So, Floyd, if you're back, I'll let you talk about the actual game.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get the – so Simon sends out a message, my boy Simon in UK. I really wanted to send him my pop. I really do. That's just how I am. When I find out somebody wants something more than me, I want to give it to them. But I plan to see Ric Flair next year at either Access or WrestleCon, and I wanted to get him to sign it. So I am keeping it. But I really did want to give it to him. It's like, understand, it's thought to count, Simon, and I really thought about it. But literally, that was one of the reasons I bought the box. Now, if somebody's like, hey, I want the Hall of Fame ring, okay, you can have that. But I really did buy it for the pop. So that's why I'm not giving it away, because I honestly, that was the thing I bought it for. I gave away my supercard codes to someone. I messaged them online and gave away the supercard codes. I don't care about, you know, most of the stuff, but I wanted the piece of the robe. I got the purple one, not the pink one. And I wanted the pop. Like I said, everything in the game is okay. Now, I have someone you might not know this. I work like a lot. Ryan will tell you this. I work a lot. I work like 60 hours a week minimum. So, that being said, you know what that doesn't leave a lot of time for? Video games. But I played this game for a good 2 hours. Now, let me say, I kind of suck at it. I generally suck at timing-based games. It's just, yeah, I just can't get the timing down on it. When I was younger, I was really good at it. I would pick it up really quick. But now that I'm older, don't really do good at timing-based games. So it takes me longer to play games like this than someone else. Like something that's very easy for someone to go through really quick, it takes me longer. Well, my favorite thing to do on the 2K series, why I buy the 2K series, is to do the My Player to Creation. That's me. I make myself. And you know what? I've always been protective of the wrestling name that I came up with because I was like, hey, what if I become a wrestler? But I'm not. So if anybody wants this name, you can't really have it. If I find out you listened to this show and got it, I'm going. I want a taste. I want some free tickets or something. You know what I mean? Especially, but the name is Intense Chris Anderson. Now, you was like, well, why would you come up with the name Intense? Well, when I was growing up, you know, people would describe wrestling characters, right? And they would always say, they're intense. And I was like, dude, that would be a good name. You just stylize the N. I took the I off, stylize the N, and make it tense, intense. And then Chris Anderson comes from my favorite wrestler of all time. I always said if I made it to the WWE with this name, I would say my favorite wrestler of all time, Chris Jericho. But we all know who's my favorite wrestler of all time. Chris Benoit. So, and it is my second favorite wrestler, Arn Anderson. So, yes, it was intense because that was a trait that both of those two people had. It was intense, Chris Anderson. So if anyone ever steals it, I would do NCA and all that kind of stuff. If you go on my Instagram, I think it's at IntenseCA. Or definitely if you play PlayStation 4, IntenseCA is my handle on there. So I create him, of course, 6'2", 220, black guy, because, you know, I wish I was 2 inches taller and about 100 pounds lighter. So I make him, and I'm going through the game. And the first, they have it set up like chapters like a book. And the first chapter section where you're going through, it's very much you start off in an indie called BCW. You're literally wrestling in a high school gym. And it kind of builds from there to where you can invade NXT. And then you get put on one of the rosters or either SmackDown or Raw. So right now, in the limited time I've played, it's SmackDown. They have what they've added this year. The gameplay is basically the same, but they've added like this comeback. It's not the comeback. I don't even want to call it that. I forgot what they call. They added these icons where you can use them. If you're getting beat up, you can use them twice in a match. One is like one gives you an automatic reversal. It's like if you use it, if you auto reverse anything. One gives you an automatic finisher. It's just like you have to be getting beat up, and then hey, boom, you got a finisher, and then you can put a finisher on and take care of the match again. But the gameplay is pretty consistent. R2, the reversal section, you set up your finishers. But when you first start, it is basically a New Japan young boy. Because you got like 15 moves you can use. Like, you literally have to go through, earn tokens, and buy your moves. Like, I've bought like 100 moves. And like right now my finishers is Crossroads. So that's awesome. Shout out to Cody. My finisher's Crossroads. I don't plan on that being my finisher's forever. But you have to earn. You have to play the game to earn the moves. Or you can buy them with like the in-store credit, but it's stupid expensive to buy the moves, like individually. It's like, hey, you can buy this for this much, or you can buy one move for this much, which is like three times what it is to buy a pack and try to get it that way. So, it's very fun. Has everybody on it. The only person I've played with so far is Adam Cole, and I wrestled against Heath Slater, and I actually lost the first match. But then, you know, I got better. And like I said, I've always had problems with timing-based games. But you have, like, all the title belts unlocked. You have Ronda Rousey. I have not done a women's match yet. I want to plan on doing Asuka versus Ronda Rousey when I have time. But, so I have not played the Daniel Bryan mode. I don't know how interested I am. If you can win a lot of tokens and shit, I might do it, but I don't know how interested I am. Of course, with me playing, with me working so much, I only get like an hour or two a week to play it. So, like, let's say someone sits down. Let's say, like, Ryan's kid sits down and can finish it in like a day and a half. It's going to take me like 3 months.
Yeah, the showcase... The showcase was something that I loved on all the video games that they had before they took them off. I'm glad they put it back. I wish they would have done a different story, but that's the thing I'm looking forward to the most is sitting down and playing. As much as I don't like Daniel Bryan, the thing I'm looking forward to the most about the game is sitting down as Daniel Bryan and doing the showcase, because the stories and doing the different things and the moments and stuff, it just, I don't know, there's something about the game that adds to it. Because I'm kind of like Floyd. I suck at this video game. There's no ways about it. Like, my kid beats me all the time when we play. I'm not good at it. So I will never play online. I'm just not good at this type of game. So the showcase is one thing that I like doing because it makes you do certain things at certain times, and it's kind of cool.
And like I said, a very good game. I know some people don't like the repetitive nature of it. I don't have a problem with it. Like I said, I only buy two games a year. I buy Madden and this. This year I bought Madden this and the New Japan game. And the problem with that is I played the New Japan game twice. So I just don't play video games like that. I'm an old man now. So the great thing is when football season ends and I need something to do, I have both of these games. That's the great thing about it. Wrestling season is not really a thing. You know what I mean? I call wrestling season from the end of the football season to the beginning of the football season because that's my priority doing that is wrestling. But there is no wrestling season. So let's say I don't get to play this New Japan game for 2 years. It's still fun for me because it's not like NFL where roster shift. And because those games are completely customizable, if you change a name or change what gear you wear, I can go on there and change it myself. Or someone has already done it.
Right.
Yeah. So. That is your WWE 2K review. Out of 5 stars, I give it like a 4. But don't take my opinion on video games. I'm not a gamer. I play three games. I am not a gamer. I want that very clear. There are gamers and there are people that play video games. I'm a person that play video games. If you want a real review, go to Up, Up, Down, Down, which I imagine they're going to give an amazing review, or the many other video game reviews you can find on YouTube.
Yeah, IGN, places like that, that's where you should go. Yeah. Because I'm Mike Floyd. I just play video games when my kid wants me to.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, you want to play Madden, I can give you some competition. I'm like, I don't suck, but I'm not amazing because I just don't play it a lot. But, so that's it for that. What else did I say we were going to discuss? Yeah, you're getting a little behind the scenes here. I said something else. I don't remember.
I don't recall either.
So that means it wasn't important. No, but really excited about seeing Cody in 2 weeks. Anybody have any requests of me getting anything signed? Of course, aroundtheringok@gmail.com. I was gonna do this because I wanted to start doing this. World Class Revolution has been really, really good to us. So I really do want to start getting better about telling you when they have events coming up. So if you happen to live in this area, or being able to check it out, you can. So October 13th, which is next Saturday, they are doing a show at Zanaeus Public School in Wilson, Oklahoma. It's Saturday at 7 p.m. This is going to be the actual, like, world-class roster. You're going to get people like Tego. You may get Jermaine. El Fuego, Fuego del Sol,
Damon Windsor.
You're going to get people like that at that show. So definitely, if you can, if you live close to the Wilson, Oklahoma area, check it out. And the next one after that is October 28th. It's World Class Live in St. Joe, Texas. And this is featuring the Von Erichs brothers. And it's going to be at Red River Station Barbecue. So you're going to be able to get to watch some wrestling and get some barbecue this Sunday, October 28th in St. Joe, Texas at 7 p.m. So if you get a chance, definitely go to those shows if you live in Texas, whatever. Like I said, I'm going to do better at telling you when shows are coming up for World Class Revolution because they have been amazing to us as far as getting us after shows, giving us access and helping us make connections that we normally wouldn't be able to make being outsiders in wrestling. The boss, Jerry Bostic, runs an amazing show, and it's one of the best and most fan interactive shows you'll go to, especially in the local area. You will hear interviews coming up soon as we are able to, with different wrestlers. Just remember, all those wrestlers were brought to you by our relationship with World Class Revolution. Last but not least, I like I said, I wanted to shout out again our boys at Loose Trunks. They are YouTube. They're doing mostly videos. We don't do video. So when it comes to like videos, reviews, and things like that, we're going to tell you to go to youtube.com/loosetrunks or just look up Loose Trunks in YouTube. There's a lot of videos. It's ran by our boy Tugboat Sam. He does the show with a lot of our people. Everybody that's on Loose Trunks, I believe, is in the club. So, but they give you very much a UK take on the world of WWE. Sam actually likes the WWE, or Tugboat actually likes the WWE. So if you're a person that really likes the WWE product and you want much more of a positive take on it, and they're hilarious. So, yeah, but, you know, I think every, I don't know, is it racist to say everybody from UK is hilarious?
I don't think it's racist.
Or maybe stereotypical?
Hey, that's probably a better word.
Stereotype, everybody from the UK is hilarious. And it's just like, I guess it's one of those good stereotypes. Like when people think I can play basketball. I can't, by the way. Spoiler. I'm horrible at it. I can play basketball. I'm pretty decent at NBA 2K. Because that's the only way I'm coordinated enough to play basketball. But, you got anything else for us, Ryan?
No, just if you have the time and you're in the area, like Floyd said, go see World Class. They put on a good show. It's fun, very family friendly. If you got kids, nieces, nephews, something like that that love wrestling or like wrestling, take them, let them interact with the wrestlers. They'll enjoy the show, and it's always a great time.
Yes. I think our next show, and I was going to tell you this, so I might as well tell you on the show, is I was told December 15th they would be doing a show in Texas that we needed to be at. He did not give me any more. But hopefully we'll get Jerry on here soon to just tell you about the direction of World Class. He's taking a step back from promoting as much and booking and focusing on more of the growing the brand. So I'd like to get him on the show to tell us about that because he's amazing. But, and you know what? I think that's all we have to talk about. I'm not going to keep you on here. Ryan said that was it. So I will say this. Whether your team is winning or your team is losing, you're trying to get through the week, remember that one important thing that I say every week. It's all a work. Don't forget to kick out it too. We'll see you next time around the ring.